Welcome to My Heart Songs podcast number 99, Coronavirus Part 15. What seeds are we planting for the future? As thousands of peaceful protesters around the world speak out against racism and police brutality, I can only hope this will be a defining moment for positive social change. Just as I have dreamed that our virulent invisible invader might be an agent for progressive ecological transformation. As we continue to open up society from the pandemonium of the pandemic, there are three factors to keep in mind. There is now more evidence that COVID-19 is overwhelmingly spread person to person, not from inanimate objects. Children are rarely a family's index case, so not the primary drivers of spread, which has huge implications for schools and colleges opening. Finally, the more people we know are infected, the lower the mortality rate becomes, since for many this is a mild or asymptomatic infection. Here in New Mexico, our governor and health department have done a good job of acting decisively and early, with stay-at-home orders, high percentage of tests done per total population compared to other states, and setting up quarantines in cooperation with tribes and pueblos for higher-risk Native communities. Most of what we did was necessary to protect our healthcare system from overload, although fear-driven because of initial estimates of 3% mortality. Now we know that this disease probably has a mortality rate closer to 0.2%, killing about twice as many people as the average flu season. Tragic and challenging, but no need to devastate our basic needs for connection, commerce, and social pleasures. The safest option for some individuals may be to mostly stay at home until we have a vaccine, but that is no longer a practical approach for our communal well-being. We don't make everyone drive 20 miles an hour to prevent the 38,000 deaths from motor vehicle crashes each year. The public health model of harm reduction, using practical and effective strategies, can help us move forward. Harm reduction acknowledges people where they are while inviting them along a continuum of decreasing risky behaviors, suspending any moralistic judgments. We don't want someone to be a drug addict. But since you are, here are clean needles to avoid hepatitis and Narcan to avoid dying of an overdose. We don't want you to get or spread HIV, and maybe you don't want to be abstinent. So here are clean needles and free condoms. And now you can use PrEP, taking daily meds if anticipating riskier behaviors. We don't want you to get or spread coronavirus. So please wear a mask inside private businesses and public agencies. Practice compassionate spaciousness, work from home if possible, and think carefully about those with whom you are now willing to share your microbiome. With masks and appropriate spacing, I'm ready to go to the movies or a concert or get on a plane. I've already gone for hikes with friends, wearing masks in the car with the windows open but not on the walk. We've eaten out in a favorite restaurant, participated in an exercise class at a local gym. We've had other couples over for dinner and cards with good hand washing and airflow in the house, if not eating outside. My men's group meets regularly outdoors. I've begun non-face-to-face hugging. If you are obese, have diabetes, heart, or chronic lung disease, or have type A blood, then you may have to do things differently. Be more cautious. Our next big task is to clearly define, using harm reduction concepts, what that might look like in practical terms for those at higher risks. But for the majority of Americans, we must also consider how economic factors influence health, increase stress, depression, anxiety, child abuse, and domestic violence from isolation and financial pressures. The million-dollar question, always true in medicine but critical now, is why do some people with COVID-19 become severely ill while others have mild or asymptomatic illness? The Human Genome Project, initiated in 1990 and completed in 2003, was the world's largest collaborative biological product. Its goal was to map more than 3 billion nucleotides, the basic structural units for DNA and RNA, by assembling a complete sequence for each of our 46 chromosomes, each containing hundreds to thousands of genes. The finished human genome is a mosaic rather than representing any one individual. That still requires ongoing research to close approximately 80 gaps in the sequence. More than 1,000 researchers in 46 countries are collecting DNA samples from COVID-19 positive people. A study released this week revealed that having type A blood was associated with a 50% increase in needing supplemental oxygen or ventilator support. There is a stretch of DNA near the locus where our blood type gene is situated that seems to control production of a protein that triggers a strong immune response, perhaps related to cytokine storm. A similar genetic variant on chromosome 3 may also trigger an immune signaling molecule. Identifying other genetic markers will help us better define who is at greater risk and who needs more early aggressive treatment. The next big wave in the fall will test our resolve, but we will meet it with more testing and contact tracing capability, improved nursing home surveillance, and probably an effective antiviral remdesivir. We need to keep schools and businesses open, develop increasing herd immunity, and protect those who are most vulnerable. Thanks as always for listening, and remember, friends and family can sign up at myheartsongs.org.